praises are going up all over the earth, declares the Lord. Praises for the things that I have done. For I have rescued men and women. I have saved them out of imminent death. I have healed them and delivered them from the curses that are coming upon this world. I have redeemed them to call them my own, declares God. And all over the earth where people recognize my mercy and my goodness, oh, there is worship. There is praise ascending to the heavens. And I am inhabiting that praise. And I am filling that praise, declares the Lord. And I am inhabiting it with my very nature. And where that praise goes up, oh, my glory comes down, declares the Lord. And when you praise, my glory will come upon you in greater measure, in greater measure. And yet so many are afraid to enter into that worship. But that worship identifies you. That worship separates you from the things of the earth, from the things of the world. And that praise seats you in heavenly places with my Son. For praise exalts a person. And praise magnifies and enlarges who I am within that person. So lift up your voice. Worship me and praise me and give me honor that is due, because I have redeemed you from every curse. I have healed you of every disease. I have exalted you above all the things that go on in the earth, and I have seated you in heavenly places with my Son, declares the Lord. Oh, so magnify me, not because I demand it, not because I deserve it, but because I have saved you and I have redeemed you. And I've brought you out of many, many waters. Don't think that you've attained it. Don't think you have it all. For there is many things that I have yet to do in the earth. Many signs and many wonders are still yet to come. And people will see them. And they will see them come with great strength and with great rapidity, to where the people of the natural mindset will wonder and question what is going on. For it leaves them dumbfounded now, but they shall be even more dumb later, for they shall not be able to speak or able to say anything about what they see, for it will literally shut the mouths of the lions. And those that are roaring against you now, declares God, silence will come upon them. For they will open their mouths and nothing will come out. They will go to slander myself. They will go to slander my children, declares God, and yet nothing will come out. For I will shut their mouths. For though they try to rail and they try to make accusations, all of their vain threats will fall to the ground. For in this day I am pouring out my glory, says God. It's the glory that the three Hebrew children saw in the fiery furnace. It was that glory that protected them from even the smell of smoke. It was that glory that came down upon them, that the fires burned all around them, and yet they were not consumed. And in that fire, there was a fourth man. And in that fire, they saw me, declares Jesus. And they saw me walking with my children and walking with those who are bold to declare who they belong to. I was with Daniel, and my glory came down. And all night long, he petted the lions. The very things that the kings thought would destroy him and devour him, he petted because my glory was upon him. And yet when the accusers were thrown into the very same pit, they were devoured and they were consumed from the very weapons that they had formed against my children. Know this, declares God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of my servants, of my children, declares the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So let's start off this morning, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Repeat it with me. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I hope you've been practicing your Hallel. Hallel means to be clamorously foolish. It means to be exerting our praise. We've been talking about praise. This is the third week of talking about praise and dealing with praise. And sometimes you need to get a little bit Hallel. I could preach Debbie's Sunday school class here this morning because it just dovetails with what we're doing. But you're going to have to talk to her about it. We were studying James 1, 2, and we got into 3, where it says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various temptations. And it's like, well, what does he mean by that? Well, not what we have normally been taught. But Debbie has a great explanation for that and from the Bible of what it says. So I encourage you to talk to her after church and find out what were you talking about and be in Sunday school next week because she's going to continue it. Amen. I tell you, you need to get this stuff. Sunday morning is not enough. TV church is not enough. You need to be in the assembly of the brethren so you can hear things and discern things for yourself. So you need to get into that. I want to start out with John 2:17. This has been one of our foundational verses as we look at praise. It says, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. This is talking about Jesus. Zeal for the house of God consumed him. And when you think about your passion for God, do you have zeal? When you think about God, does it stir up anything on the inside of you, or do you go ho-hum? What does it do for you? Is God just kind of another trophy you put on the wall? Or is God something you look at that stirs up memory, stirs up your story of your salvation, stirs up what God has done for you? Does he stir things up on the inside of you, or are you just kind of blasé about it? See, Jesus was consumed with zeal for the house of God. That means excited for the house of God. That means stirred up about the things of the Father. You know, Jesus got really ticked off at times when people would say bad things about his dad. You know, just like my dad can beat up your dad. Well, you don't say anything against my dad because my dad can beat your dad up. Okay, not my natural father, but my spiritual father, my heavenly father. He can take on anybody. Do you know there's a rumor going around that he's bigger than the devil? Think about that. God is bigger than the devil. And some people say, well, he's not. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And he's whooping on him right now. Hallelujah. He's whooping on the devil. And the devil don't like it. That's why you hear so many people screaming. That's why they're making a noise. You know, you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, and the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Hallelujah. And God is pounding on the devil right now, and he's not letting up. Amen. So zeal is important for us. We've said the first week, and I'm going to just repeat this, praise is an indicator of your zeal for Christ. Praise is an indicator of your zeal for Christ. Praise indicates your faith toward God against every weapon that is formed against you. Amen. Praise is a weapon of war. Praise isn't a cute little thing you do when you come to church. Praise isn't just holding up a hand, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord. That's not what praise is. Praise is out of your heart. And one of the things that we looked at last week about praise is your story. Praise is not just saying, thank you, Lord, praise you, God. Praise is the story of your salvation. And when you give praise to God, you are remembering all the things that God has done for you, all the things that he's brought you out of, and you're remembering all those things. And sometimes you can't always express it in words. You say, thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, God. See, this is what praise is. Praise comes out of the abundance of a heart. It's a zeal for what God has done for us. Amen. And unfortunately, many Christians really don't know what God's done for them. Because the only hope they have is when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, if that's the only hope you have as a believer, you have missed God. Now, you may believe in him and you may go to heaven when you die. But I want to tell you, Jesus told us to pray, thy will be done in the earth even as it's done in heaven. That means God wants to bring heaven to earth. And if you're not experiencing that, you need an upgrade. Yes. You need a download from God into your spirit so you can get on with the program. Some of you are running on old software. Some of you, your CPU is outdated. You know, I've got a computer at home, and I think I need to upgrade it because it doesn't run things anymore. And I'm thinking, well, you can't just put a new motherboard in. You can't just put more information in. I've got to upgrade the whole thing because the circuits that are in it were only built for a certain processor, and it won't go beyond it. So if I put on new things, it won't handle it. It won't read it because the information is not in it to be able to handle it. Well, I want to tell you, this Bible has all kinds of information in it. And if you don't read it, if you don't study it, if you just are running on old software of what grandma used to say or what you heard here or what you heard there, and you're not in the Word of God to discover it for yourself, your software is out of date. And you need to get on with the program. Amen? You need to get on with the Word of God. See, we live and move and have our being in Christ. Now, when you think about all these things, if it doesn't stir up a little bit of zeal in you, your battery's low. Have you ever been around people with hearing aids and they got batteries in the hearing aids? And I found out those things really go fast. Now, I talked to one guy, he said he always carries batteries with him because you never know when the battery in his ear's going out. And you can tell when the batteries are low because you're talking to them and they don't even hear you. God's talking to us. And there's too many believers that aren't hearing because their batteries are low. And we just think no one's talking. No, God's talking. Got low batteries. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so praise is a weapon of war. We've looked at this. I'll get to this later, but I'll just say this. Praise is a weapon of war to silence the enemy and the avenger against us. See, it silences the enemy. Now think about it. It shuts the mouths of lions. It shuts the mouth of the accuser against you when you begin to praise God. Amen. Go to Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 through 3. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just in church, not just in my shower at home, not just when there's no one around me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now, there's a whole lot packed into here, and let me try to unpack it for you. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to do this all the time. It's not a one-time activity. It's not a partial activity. It's at all times I will bless the Lord. Now, the bless there is in the Hebrew is barak, and it means to kneel. Now, we all know that you cannot physically kneel all the time. I mean, how do you drive a car when you're kneeling? How do you cook dinner or lunch over the countertop in the kitchen if you're kneeling? You know, we all know physically you cannot just kneel all the time. But our heart should have an attitude of yieldingness to the Father, and you can have that all the time. See, some people get so literal with the Bible, they're dumb. Well, you can't kneel all the time. It's just like you should be forever in prayer. Well, you can't pray all the time. Yeah, you can. You can pray 24/7. Well, how do you get anything done? Prayer is an attitude. Prayer is an openness to God, and you can be open to God, and you need to be open to God on your job because He'll warn you about dangers or inform you about things you need to know on the job. Yeah. Amen? He'll help you in practical, everyday situations. This is the God that we serve. He says, I will bless the Lord. Well, you can't kneel all the time, but we should have a yielded heart to God, and you can do that all the time. And that's what he's talking about. It's not talking about physically kneeling. The physical kneeling is just a natural manifestation of a spiritual heart. Praise is a natural manifestation of a heart that is on fire for God. Amen. This is one of those amen or oh me messages. Well, I just don't agree with that, Gordon. Well, then you need to read the Bible. And you need to get a concordance. They have them on every Android now where you can read the Bible. And when you come to praise or bless or worship or whatever, you're going to hit the little button and it'll tell you what that word is. as no big deal, but it'll help you understand the Word of God. Amen. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He says, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, this is a word, we touched on this last week. In the Hebrew, it's tehillah, and it means a song or a praise or a song or hymn of praise. It is a thanksgiving paid to God. It is an act of general or public praise. Again, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So not only do I have a heart attitude of being yielded to the Lord, but I've got a song in my heart all the time. Have you ever noticed when you're doing something, yard work or just work, general work, or you're just out shopping, all of a sudden a tune is in your head? And sometimes that tune will go over and over and over. Debbie will wake up at night, oh, this happens so much at Christmas time. It was going over the Christmas songs. She'll wake up in the night with all these songs going through her head. She says, I wish I could turn it off. She gets so tired of the songs. By the time Christmas is here, it's like, I'm ready for this to be over with because I've had these songs going through my head for 3 months. I said, well, you can't have a song continually. Yeah, you can. You can have songs and music, and you do have, most of us do, all the time. You may not be consciously aware of it, but there's a song going on in your heart. It's either a song of gladness or a song of defeat, but there's an attitude, and you'll pick out the music to go with it. That's why the music you listen to is so important, because you pick up the tunes, and you say, well, I don't remember the words. I don't know the words of this song, but your spirit does. And your soul knows those words. Yes. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. You know, it's just like, well, what is that? Well, it's kind of cute. It's kind of funny. But it's like, but everything is going in that negative sense. And it's a mocking spirit of even what Christ has done for us. They say, well, that doesn't impact me. Well, just think about that song long enough, and you'll start getting tired of Christmas. And you'll start complaining about all the things that go on at Christmas time and all the people that fake Christmas. And I don't think we should just give presents just to give presents. Well, why not give presents just to give presents? Why not just be a blessing to people? You know, you can be a Santa Claus, you can be a Grinch. But it's up to you. And a lot of that is determined by the music you listen to, because those words penetrate into you. And you will hum the song, and when you hum the song, those words are going through your soul man, your subconscious all the time. So his praise, tehillah, shall continually be in my mouth. I'm always going to make a song. I'm always going to sing to the Lord. Even if have you ever just made up songs? Have you ever just made up words while you're thinking about something, and you're just singing a song to yourself? You know, most of us don't like to admit it because we can't rhyme. But you'll make up songs to yourself, and you'll sing those songs to yourself. Well, that's not always a bad thing, but you should always make sure your praise is to God. You're lifting Him up. You're exalting Him in your thinking. Amen. He goes on to say, my soul, in verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Oh, you'll love this word. Boast, there is our favorite word for praise, hallel. I'm not just saying God is a good God. I'm saying God is an awesome God. He is amazing. Oh, what God has done. Oh, man. Oh, I want to jump for joy. I want to leap. Hallelujah, God. Well, that just goes beyond the pale. Some of you need to try it. I mean, don't do it in the shower with a wet floor, but sometime, because we do everything spiritual in the shower. And it's just, sometime when you're by yourself, just leap for joy. Just say, I'm going to leap for joy. Because you do it all the other times. Why can't you do it for God? See, now, some of you are smiling at me. Some of you are just like, oh, my goodness, does he know? Yeah. See, you need to get clamorously foolish now and then. And that's what that word hallel means. It means to be, it's interpreted once crazy, once as mad, foolishness, praise, loud, exuberant praise. This is so cool. He says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord, to be clamorously foolish. He says, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. In verse 3, David now is inviting us to join him. So you say, well, that's how David did it. David blessed the Lord. David had an attitude of obedience to God and an attitude of openness to him. His praise, David always had a song because he played an instrument, you know, so David sang. And then, okay, David danced in his underwear. That may be a little bit too far in church, but when you're at home, you can still dance in your underwear. Amen. I don't recommend to do it publicly, but at home you can do it. It's okay. And then he turns around and says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. With me. That's so exciting. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is a group thing. This is not just an individual private thing. He's inviting us to join David. Now, this is what I want you to get out of this. Praise is not exclusively a private affair. Because so many people say, but I magnify God in my heart. Well, if you're magnifying God in your heart, sometimes there's going to be a bless the Lord, praise God, come out. Because what is an abundance in your heart will come out of your mouth. Amen. And if somebody mentions church and you moan, what is an abundance in your heart comes out of your mouth. David said, I rejoice when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. He rejoiced. He got exceedingly happy. Probably a little bit Hallel, if you know David. He said, man, let's go. Let's make sacrifice. Let's go up to the temple of God because, man, we can sing and we can do all kinds of crazy things and nobody will look down on us. It's not like church today. You know, I when we go to Haiti, they dance. And they get exuberantly happy. I meant to show it today, but we'll get to it sometime. I've got a video of after church service in Haiti at Pinel. 1,000 people were there. We ended church service, dismissed the service. The pastors left. We're over there eating. It was at least a half hour, 40 minutes after church service dismissed, and I'm walking around the church grounds, and I hear them singing in the church. And I'm thinking, well, the band is probably there still practicing. So I took my camera, and I went into the church building, and they were dancing. About 400 or 500 people in the church still dancing. This is half an hour, 40 minutes after church. The band is still playing. The people are still dancing. They got their hands up, and they're not doing the Texas shuffle. You know, they're not just going like, I mean, they are dancing. They're jumping around. They're hopping, and it's 100 degrees, and they're sweating, and they're hot, and you think it's a cloud of glory, and it's just human sweat all over the place. And they're just having, this is after church. The service is over. And they're still celebrating God. Why? For zeal for your house consumed him. They're excited because, listen, they have grown up in darkness. They've grown up in voodoo. They've grown up with all this oppression. They've grown up that way. And God has set them free. And when you understand God has set you free, you get a little bit excited about it. Amen? You get a little bit stirred up about it. This is my story. This is how I got out. God delivered me. God saved me. He took me out of the miry clay and put my feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And if that can't excite you, do you deserve to go to heaven? I'm just being practical. Say, well, Lord, I don't really care if I go to heaven or not because I can't even get excited about that. Excuse me? What do you get excited about? Think about the things that stir your heart, and if God isn't on the list, you need an upgrade. You need a battery change. You need to get your story straight because you're worshiping the wrong things. Is this okay? I'm just being straight Bible with you. I mean, who's going to get caught up in the second coming of the Lord? Those who are looking forward to his appearing. You know, there's a lot of Christians that have no excitement about Jesus coming back. They could care less. Oh, I've heard that story before. You ought to get excited about it because he's coming back for us. He's coming back for his church. And when he comes back, I mean, if you like thrill rides, get ready for the biggest thrill of your life. Because when Jesus comes back, we are going to be caught up in the air and meet with him somewhere up in the stratosphere, someplace real high, and I tell you, you're going to go real quick. Yeah. The old movies of Left Behind, remember the pile of clothes that was left It's like, whoop, you go so quick, you leave your clothes. Oh, hallelujah. We can go someplace with that, but we're not going to go there. I mean, this is the thrill ride of a lifetime, I'm telling you, to be zapped up with God and to be caught up in the air with Him. And then the Bible says we're going to come back with God as a holy host of angels, or as a holy host of sons and daughters, and we're going to come back with Him on the clouds, and the world will see us coming back. And you go, I told you! I told you this was real. I told you God is real. I told you and you wouldn't listen to me. Zeal for His house consumed Jesus. And yet in church, it's like so few people seem to have zeal. Well, I just don't get excited like you do. Well, excitement is kind of a momentary thing, but a fanatic... This is a definition I heard years ago about a fanatic. A fanatic is someone who loves God more than you do. And sometimes we watch TV or we watch other people in church and you think, boy, I don't want to get that fanatic. Try it. It's fun. It really can be fun. You might get excited about having fun. Well, you can't have fun. Who told you that? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you can't have fun in God, where can you really have fun? Do you even know what fun really is if you can't have fun in God? I mean, your Savior, the one who delights in your soul, the one who makes His home on the inside of you. I just can't get too excited about that. Something's wrong. I will bless the Lord continually at all times. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Because this is one of the objections that comes up from now and then. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus is telling the crowd, the disciples, He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Now notice, this is the reference. You shall not be like the hypocrites. Okay? For they love... Now, a hypocrite is we would say actor today, if you really wanted to get... correct about it. A hypocrite was a name for an actor. A Greek actor would put a mask over his face so they didn't have to really do much acting. They just read their parts and they had a mask over their face so you couldn't see them. So this is an actor, someone who is playing the part of somebody else, but it's not really who they are. Okay, that's a hypocrite. We would call it a Hollywood elite today. You know, they play all these parts, and the problem is they start believing they are the superhero. They do think they're Superman. They do think they're all these people that they play. And so many of them get confused in the parts and literally lose their mind. Literally lose their mind. I can give you actors that have played so many different parts, and they take on the role. I'll give you Heath Ledger. He took on the role of the Joker in the Batman movie. He took on the role so completely, he killed himself. Committed suicide. Died. Why? Because he took the role so seriously, he became the Joker and he couldn't put up with it. Go back and read some of the articles about him. Read what some of the actors said. He was so immersed in the part that it destroyed him because he was playing the role of somebody else and he couldn't live with it. He was so consumed by the person he played. So think about that. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They got paid for it. They got the box office attraction. They got the ticket sales. They got the notoriety of how good they were. But in verse 6, he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, again, so many people take that literally. I knew a pastor one time. And she told me she never says prayer in church. She never led the congregation in prayer because the Bible says go into your own closet. So she would not even lead a congregational prayer. I asked her to pray for National Day of Prayer and she said, I can't pray publicly because it's a private thing. And see, many people feel that about praise. It's a private thing. It's just between me and the Lord. Well, Jesus is saying, the emphasis is, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do praise. Don't do these things just to be seen by people. If you do that, you're playing the part of somebody that is really not you. That's the emphasis Jesus is making. Yeah, but he said, go into your room and be alone. Listen, the Hebrews had a prayer shawl. And what Jesus is literally referring to is when you pray, take the prayer shawl and cover yourself. That is your closet. And in that prayer shawl, you and God are in there alone in your secret place, and you pray to God. He wasn't talking about going into a literal room and locking all the doors and closing all the windows. Remember Daniel? He got in trouble because he prayed in the window that faced east. No, faced toward Jerusalem, I think, wasn't it? That faced toward Jerusalem. He prayed in that window that people saw him praying. The three children were thrown into the fiery furnace, not because they did things secretly, but because people knew of their faith in God. They knew. David says in Psalm, 34, verse 6, he says, join me in this, in the public praise. Join me in this. In other words, let's do this together. Praise is not a private thing. Neither is your worship of God or your faith in Jesus ever meant to be a private thing. Now, there's times you don't go out and publish it. If you're in Iran, you don't publish your Christianity. If you're in Egypt, you don't publish your Christianity. And they're trying to make it that way in America that if they know you're Christian, they'll blackball you. Those Hollywood actors have been blackballed because they're Christian. Not because they're bad actors. Oh, we got plenty of those on the screen. But because they will speak out about God. Chris Pratt recently spoke out about God. It was some pretty good things. But he hasn't gone so far yet that they've banned him because he's still kind of a Hollywood darling right now. He's in a lot of movies that are making lots of money. But I tell you, first time he has one that doesn't make money, they'll sell him out. Because he believes in God. See, praise is not for show. Praise comes from knowing our God. Hypocrites do things to be seen by others. But we're not going to be hypocrites. Our faith is going to be genuine. Our praise is going to be genuine. We're not doing it just for show. You're not doing it just because you're at church. But church is like, finally I can let my hair down. Suddenly, I can praise because I'm with people of like precious faith. And I can magnify God in church. And if it makes you a little bit nervous, good. Because you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're beginning to express yourself a little bit of different. I dare you, if you've never raised your hand in church, you need to raise your hand up. Just one, or maybe just a finger. Just, woo, yeah, Lord, hallelujah. Got a free hand there. Woo, my hand. Ooh, it started to go. Ooh, oh man, I feel it. I better stop this. I'm getting out of control here. It's like some of you need to just do something a little different and let God touch you. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 56, verse 9. He says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. Oh, isn't that good? When I cry out to you. Now, cry here doesn't mean praise. It just means I'm crying out to God. I need help. Intervene in my life. That's what the cry is. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Ooh, he's establishing that. This I know because God is for me. Verse 10, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. And verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now the two words of praise there is my favorite word for praise. It's Hallel. I will praise your word. I will be clamorously foolish about your word. I will be clamorously foolish when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will be clamorously foolish. I am going to get so excited about going to church. I'm going to get so excited about being in the presence of God. I mean, think about this. God is speaking to us almost every week. And he's been doing it for 3.5 years. And I regret to say this, but I think there's some people here in church don't even have a clue what's going on. And if that's you, I don't mean to offend you. But you need to open your ears and your eyes and see what God is doing. Yes. because God is speaking to us. And we've had some words of the Lord within 7 days, we have seen it come to pass. We need to pay attention to what God's saying because He's doing it. He keeps telling us, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm doing it right before your eyes. And He said, those who are spiritual can see it, and those who are natural are still looking for it because they can't see heavenly things. Well, you don't have to be that way. Amen? You can have your eyes open. You can have your ears open. And praise is a way that begins to happen. Go to Psalm 51. I'm just going to give you several verses. Psalm 51, verse 17. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. That's Tehillah. It's a praise song or a hymn of praise. And my mouth will show forth your praise. Open my lips and my mouth. In other words, help me, Lord, to open my mouth. Help me to sing a song of praise to you. Verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. Now, in our way, we say, you don't deserve money or you don't want money. You don't desire money. You don't desire that I sell my house and give it to you. You don't desire that I give away my car or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God. Now listen, here's the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I want to bring up to you today, praise is a contrite heart. Being able to give praise is humbling yourself before Almighty God. It is declaring His word in the midst of your circumstances. I will bless the Lord continually. His praise will always be in my mouth. This is a way of living. This is an attitude. It's not just a thing that we do. This is a way of thinking, and it will literally change how you think. Psalm 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Hallel you with joyful lips. Ooh, glory be to God. Psalm 71, 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise. That's Tehillah, a song or hymn of praise. And with your glory all the day. Let my mouth be filled with praises and songs unto the Lord and with your glory all the day. Psalm 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise. Now, here's a new word for you, a little bit different. It's yada in the Hebrew. It literally means to throw as a stone or to throw out your hand. To yada the Lord. Now, get this. I will greatly yada, especially to revere or to worship with extended hands. I will greatly yada the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise Tehillah, a song of praise, him among the multitude. Again, you've got, I will, this is how we would interpret it. I will praise and sing songs of you with outstretched arms because I will throw my hands toward the Lord. And I'm going to do it in my private little prayer closet where no one can see me. No, it says, I will do these things among the multitude, public praise, public manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. Psalm 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Jesus called it perfected praise because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. See, when we praise God in times of trouble, it changes everything and shows our spiritual maturity. When you can praise God in everything, not for everything, but in everything, when you it lifts your eyes. You begin to see things differently. Luke 6, 44 and 45. For every tree is known, now get this, every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now remember, we told you last week, praise, Jesus is talking about praise as they interpret Psalm 8:2, and praise is your story of what God has done for you. It is calling to remembrance the glory of your salvation, the glory of your redemption, the glory of being dead and coming back to life or being made alive by the Spirit of the living God. See, this is our story. This is part of our praise and what our praise comes out of. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. If you don't have a story in you of redemption, if you don't have a story that God has changed your life, you need to be born again. Because if you don't have that on the inside of you, you have nothing inside to bring out. Am I stepping on some toes? Good, because it'll make you think about it. You'll either be mad at me or you'll think about it. Well, don't be mad at me. Just think about it. Go to the scriptures. Look up the things I'm sharing you. We'll have it on the website here next week, and you can check me out on all of it. But study it. That's how my life got turned around, is I got upset at the preacher who was preaching on the radio, and I started to prove him wrong that he didn't have a clue what he was talking about, because I was in seminary at the time, and I was being professionally trained by people that understood the Bible, and all he was a lousy radio preacher. And I got my Bible out and my concordance out to prove him wrong, and everything he said was biblical. And I had to change my way of thinking. Because if I didn't, now I was confronted. And I couldn't live like that anymore, because then I knew I would be living a lie. Just to preach what everybody else had said and flow along. You know, any old dead fish can float downstream. And that's how a lot of Christians live their Christianity. They're just floating down the stream because it's the easiest way to go. But I'll tell you, living fish swim upstream. They're fighting the current all the time. Why? They're alive. They're vibrant. They do things. Praise God. See, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. What is in your heart comes out. When you're in church with God, what is in your heart comes out or doesn't come out. But if it doesn't come out, it's because you have to ask the question, what's in my heart that I can't get it out? Now, I know there's people in here because you've told me. You want to praise God. You feel like when in worship your hands want to go up. Let it. Let it. I mean, just even if it's just a hand. I remember the first time I raised my hand in church, it's like all I could do is the elbow thing. I mean, my arm was still at my side, but my elbow kind of went up. It's like, woo, I am free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I was really excited because I finally was able to move. There's a lot of people. It's like if you want to learn how to swing a baseball bat, you can watch all the videotapes you want. You can watch all the baseball games you want, but there comes a time you've got to pick up a bat and swing it. And probably the first time, you won't get the home run. Maybe you'll never get a home run. But if you learn to swing properly, you can get base hits. In high school, I was one of the coaches on our baseball team. And we had a guy, he was a good hitter. Not a home run hitter, but he was a good hitter. And because he could almost always got on base, he was hitting like 400 in high school. Because he almost always got on base, the coach had him batting first because that way we'd get a guy on base. And the next three guys would be out, you know. And this guy wasn't a fast runner. I mean, they tried to get him to steal second. He was thrown out about halfway there. I mean, he wasn't a fast runner, but he could hit the ball. And I told the coach, why don't you put the other guys out before him, because if you let them bat first, if they get on base, he can get them in. And the coach took my advice, and we started doing that, and we started winning some games because other people could get on base, and then he would bat them in. See, that's a strategy. But if he had never picked up a bat, he couldn't do that. He wasn't the all-star of the game, but he was consistent and dependable, and you knew when he got up that 4 times out of 10, he was going to get a hit. And if someone was on base and they were a fast runner, they could, on his hit out to center field, they could run all 3 bases and get in. See, it's not how far you go, but you've got to do something. Praise is cooperation with God to just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm born again. Thank you, Father God, that you have raised me from the dead. Thank you, God, when I die, I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Lord, you will never leave me or forsake me. If you can't say those things to yourself, it'll never come out publicly. And you'll be wishing, oh, I wish I could say that. I wish I could. Well, you can. This is a safe place. But everyone will see me. Listen, you're not that important. Nobody's watching you. Amen. See, that's one of our problems. It's not about you, it's about God. And when you praise God, most people won't even notice. Most people won't even know. Why? Because they're busy praising God. And if we're praising God, our mind isn't on the person next to us or behind us or in front of us. Our mind is on God. And when your heart goes up to the Lord, your hands just naturally follow. And it becomes the most natural thing in the world. When I'm in other churches and they start singing even the old hymns, I want to just start praising God because those words are significant to me. And I have to remind myself not to raise my hands because they don't do that here and I don't want to be offensive to them. But let me give you a clue. If you're in this church and you want to raise your hands, we will not be offended. And if you want to say praise the Lord every now and then or thank you, Jesus, we won't throw you out. But there are churches that will. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, almost done. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. If Jesus is your Savior, walk in your salvation. If Jesus is your Redeemer, walk in the redemption. If Jesus is your healer, walk in your healing. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding. That means more, overflow, abounding. If I'm abounding in all these things, I'm going to abound in it in thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You have set my feet on the solid rock. Thank you, God. You have redeemed me. You have rescued me, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Some of you need to practice that because this is so great in giving your testimony. It's so great in witnessing to other people. Because one of the hindrances we have about witnessing to others, you don't know what God has done for you. You don't have your story. So when the opportunity to witness comes up, you can't even articulate what God has done for you because you've never thought about it. All you know is you're going to go to heaven when you die, you hope. And because you haven't thought about your story by praising God and thanking God for what he's done for you, when someone else opens a door for you, you can't share with them because you're not convinced God has done that for you. And if you don't have faith that God has done it for you, how can you promise it to someone else? And you won't witness. You know, only 1% of Christians ever share their faith with somebody else. 1%. That tells me about 99% of us do not know what our story of salvation is. We don't know what God has redeemed us from. But praise God, we hope when we die, we'll go to heaven. We hope when Jesus returns and picks up his church, we'll be in that chosen few. Go to Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This is one of the problems of why we have such a hard time praising God, is we've been deceived by the traditions of the world. The church is so long, we don't raise our hands to God. They did it in the Old Testament. Now get this. The disciples were Jewish. So they worshiped according to Jewish practices. That means the early church raised their hands. It means they danced. It means they sang songs to God. It meant every now and then they were clamorously foolish. They did all of these things. And then we get into church. And we got into the pagan practices. And because they didn't want to go pagan on everything, they said, we're not going to praise like that anymore. And so church became a ritual. And you have to look at the Catholic Church because that's where a lot of our traditions have come from. And so they squelched emotion. They squelched feeling. And I can go back historically and prove this to you. Because the Roman Catholic Church excommunicated half the church world because the church world that they excommunicated practiced the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they were active and have been active all through history. But the Catholic Church says, we don't want to be like those guys. So we're going to excommunicate them And then they stripped all emotion out of the church service to where they process the cross and everyone go. And they bow their knee as the cross goes by and everybody goes, oh, but you don't say anything. And then they got into the liturgy of confession. Any of you remember the liturgies in church? They're always at the back of the hymnal. And you open them up and it says, I am nothing but a worm before God. Oh God, have mercy on me. I am of no good to God. I am as filthy rags. Oh God, have mercy on me. And it goes through a whole list, confessing all your sin. And I remember in church, I got tired of that. So I wrote my own liturgy. We had the church confess it. You remember that? It says, I am a son and daughter of the Almighty God. I am the healed and the righteous in Jesus Christ. And the district called me up and said, you can't do that. I said, there's a liturgy section in the back of the hymnal. Well, yeah. Are you telling me we can't do liturgies in church? No, but you can't do that one. Why? It was Bible. The other stuff is a tradition of men. Now, let me read this again. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. See, if you follow the traditions of men, you're going to get cheated. You're going to get robbed out of the blessings that God has for us. Amen? Verse 9 says, for in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Woo! Huh? Hallelujah. I could dance a little bit. I'm complete, lacking nothing. God has filled me up to overflowing. I'm abounding with thanksgiving. Why? Because Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. See, I get excited over things like this. Not just in church. I get excited over it. When I read some scripture, it says, oh, blessed are you in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll take it. When you read I'm healed, I'll take it. I'll receive it. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the one section I want to give to you. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, you are. One of the things that praise does, well, let me say it this way. If you think on depressing things, you will be depressed. If you decide to bless the Lord at all times and follow through with it, you will have to get your mind off of yourself and all the negative things around you and get your mind focused on something else. One of the reasons it's hard for many people to praise the God is all we can see is our trouble. And we're so caught up in the negative that you get to the point, I can't praise God. I can't do the, I know I ought to, I can't do it. That's because you're looking at the wrong thing. And all you wind up doing is confessing what's going on around you, but you're not confessing who you are in Jesus Christ. You're not confessing your redemption. You're not confessing your story. You're not blessing God. You're not praising him because you don't think God can get you out of your predicament. And then you get mad at God. Well, I tried it and nothing happened. That's because you tried it. Do it. Make a decision. I will bless the Lord at all times. When you feel the least like praising God is when you need to do it the most. I've been there. I've been in times where I was so depressed and I was giving God my litany list and all the things going on, all the things going wrong, and God interrupted me. Have you ever had God interrupt you? He interrupted me. How dare he interrupt me? I am on this really good binge of how bad everything is, and God interrupts me. And he said something he probably has said to all of us in here, are you done yet? And I knew exactly what he was going to say. Why? My spirit bears witness with his spirit. He's on the inside of me. And I knew exactly what he was going to say. And I said, no, I'm not done yet. Because I didn't want to hear what I knew he was going to say. But I already knew what he was going to say. But I didn't want to hear it because I knew what he was going to say. And what he was going to say, I didn't want to hear. So I went on a couple more minutes. And finally, I kind of ran out of all my complaining. I said, okay, God, what do you have to add to this? He said, begin to praise me. I said, have you been listening to me at all? I mean, God hears our prayers, right? But I wasn't praying. I was complaining. I said, have you been paying attention at all? He says, praise me. Okay. Lord, bless your name. Hallelujah. It's like, that wasn't enough. Okay. And what I started doing is I started remembering my story. Lord, thank you when I was so depressed in college, when I was so angry in college. Thank you, God, you came into my life. Thank you, God, you challenged me and asked if I was a Christian. And I tried to defend myself. And the more I defended that I was a Christian, the more I was convicted that I wasn't. Thank you, God, that you heard my cry and you caused me to be born again. Thank you, God, you delivered me out of that death spiral I was in. Thank you, God, that you gave me Debbie as a wife. Thank you, God. And it was just in a few minutes as I began to go through my story, I'm running around the sanctuary. I got my hands up in the air. I was being clamorously foolish. I didn't intend to be. I didn't think, Gordon, we're going to be clamorously foolish. I didn't come in with that attitude. I was depressed. I was angry. I was upset. None of my prayers were getting above my nose, you know, and said nothing was happening at all. And God said, praise me. And as I began to recount my story with him, to remember my story and begin to be thankful, to abound with thanksgiving for all that he had done for me, I don't even think I scratched the surface of what he did for me. But as I began to go through that, I began to get excited and I began to run around the church, my hands up in the air, and I was praising God, and it broke that spirit of depression over me. Did I feel like it? No. Did it work? Absolutely. See, I'm talking out of experience. See, praise makes you refocus. When you focus on the Lord, it gives you a different perspective. Praise changes your heart, and praise will change you. When you make the decision, I will do it. And it's a choice. If you're going to go on whether you feel like praising God, you'll never do it. Because the devil's always going to bring up something to discourage you. But if you make a decision in your heart, I will bless the Lord at all times. My mouth will continually be filled with his praise, and you follow through with it. It'll change your situation. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come before you. Lord, we need a heart change. We need fresh batteries. We need a new download from you, Father. We need new programming in us. And God, you have perfected praise within us. And so, Father, we choose by an act of our will to lift up our praise to you. We choose to magnify you over the circumstances. We choose, God, to let that good thing of God in us to rise up out of us and fill our mouth with praises and songs and joy for you, God, because you have redeemed us, you have healed us, you have delivered us, you have brought us out of death and given us life, God, life from heaven, life from you, Father. You choose to dwell within us, God, and make us new people, Father. And God, we praise you and we magnify you for all that you have done. And Lord, I pray for every one of us that you will bring up in us all the things that you have done for us, all the good times that you've blessed us with, all the things of your word that you have spoken over us, God, about life, about godliness, about righteousness, about our future, God. Bring these things up and stir them up in us, God, that they would come out of our mouth with abundance. And God, we give you the praise and the honor today for what you have done and are doing and have yet to do in us in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.